News.
The views and opinions expressed on TalkBack are not those of the staff, management, or advertisers.
This is the Montana News Network's TalkBack. Join the conversation at 721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309 with producer Nick Christensen and your host, Peter Christian.
Good morning, everyone. Good to have you along this morning. It is Wednesday, August 19th, and we've got a great show for you today. Nick Christensen over there. Good morning, Mr. Nick. How you doing, man?
Doing good. Good morning.
Yeah, and here in the studio with us, one of our permanent guests, I guess you might say, a feature on the show, Walt Carroll from Elevated Tax and Accounting, and he's our resident tax expert, our tax guy. Walt, good morning.
Well, good morning. Good morning, Peter.
Well, there
good morning,
we go.
Nick.
Sorry.
Good morning, Radio Land in Western Montana.
All right,
to be here.
You bet. So now the way this works with Walt is we have a period, maybe a half an hour or so, of instruction before we start taking phone calls. So just so folks know.
Yeah. Well, today's tax time segment will be devoted to tax rates under communism, socialism, and capitalism.
Wow.
And so why go along there? Well, I was listening to the show this past week, and somebody came on and started talking about what their opinions were or what their definitions of those isms was. And so I thought, well, let's talk about taxes under those isms. And so away we go.
Go for it.
And of course, with the helpful my alter brain, the ChatGPT, which is Microsoft Copilot, uses ChatGPT, as last I saw. Anyway, what are the tax rates under communism? Well, it's almost impossible to tell because in communism, the government has taken over. It's a buzzword now, means of production, but they take over the banking, the finance, the manufacturing. All of that is under government control. And so when they have tax rates there, it's hard to measure. But what we have found through what's been published about what tax rates are under communism, they're relatively mild. They end up being about 18 to 35%, and it depends on the country. But one other way of talking about taxes besides the rate is how much of your GDP are you spending? So in communism, it's around 10 to 25% of the GDP, but then. Because a lot of functions like health care and utilities and all that stuff
so
is under state
right?
control,
right.
That's kind of not it's we can't compare it. It's mixing apples and oranges. So, but under the European style social democracy, and you're talking about the Scandinavian countries like Sweden and Norway and Finland and Denmark, what you get is higher tax rates and a higher amount of social spending to GDP. And in those countries, the tax rates are about 35 to 45%. And then in the U.S., U.S.-style capitalism, our tax rates are about between 20 and 30%. Has a percentage of GDP, and our social spending is 10 to 20% of GDP. So, if you want to compare those systems, that's what we have, and it's kind of hard to note a country who's purely capitalism. The closest example was Hong Kong back in the days before the commies took over.
Okay, all right,
And they had pretty much as free market economy as you had. So yeah, we'll take a short break.
Yes, we will. We're going to come right back. Walt Carroll joining us here in the studio this morning from Elevated Tax and Accounting. It's tax time. We're going to be right back after this quick timeout on TalkBack.
You've just had an
Dennis Bragg updating the Town Square weather. Conditions remaining sunny and warm for the second half of the week as high pressure helps with what could be one of our last stretches of 90-plus degree weather this summer. Wednesday's high in the upper 80s, and then anywhere from 90 to 95 Thursday and Friday. Overnight lows will stay comfortable around 50 degrees with a few clouds. Regional fire smoke could reappear from time to time. Increasing clouds expected later Friday with a slight chance of rain, then a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms again Saturday. Highs back into the 80s.
All right, we are back on Talk Back. So glad to have you along this morning, especially as our special guest here in the studio is Walt Kuro from Elevated Tax and Accounting. And as we mentioned before, the first half hour of the show is educational more than anything else. You have so much information you'd like to share with people. So
yeah,
please go ahead.
So part of the reason for talking about tax rates under the various isms is to, you know, get people thinking about, well, we got the Socialist Democrat Party, whatever they are called. And, you know, there's a lot of buzzwords and talking about this kind of stuff now. But I think this country's gone through a period of about 20, 30, 40 years of a lack of promotion of education on economics and taxes and all these kinds of things.
Well, it's for the average person, it's too complicated, maybe. Huh?
Yeah, it's complicated, but you know, when you look at some of the aspects of those isms, let's go back to about 1917, and I was telling you a little story about my uncle. My uncle Jake had just gotten married in the early 1920s, and He was born and raised on a farm near Red Lodge, and he and his bride got the big idea that going to Russia after the revolution would be kind of like going to the promised land. Oh. Well, sure enough, he figured out a way to get over to Russia through Finland. And in fact, when I visited the old family farm place in Finland, he had been there, and he wrote his name on a wall, a barn wall, and that's still there. But he and his wife went into Russia to go live under the communist regime, and within a couple of years, he had to leave, and he said he couldn't stand it.
Wow!
And so the reason why he couldn't stand it was because it was not the promised land. It was, in fact, it was the opposite of the promised land.
You mean they didn't tell him the truth? Is that the...
Well...
did they lie?
Knowing my uncle, it's easy to get caught up in the fervor of, you know, whatever is... interesting at the moment socially, you know, what's avant-garde, what's hot and what's not. And so he got sucked up in that idea. Now here's what happened, and I'll never forget, my dad would just rant and rave about what happened as a result of that, is that the family farm had to be mortgaged to raise money to bail them out of, you know, Bernie Sanders' promised land.
Wow.
And so that's a real life example of what, you know, if you don't know what you're getting into, stay away. You know, and it's one of my common things. If you don't know what to do, don't do anything at all. Because by making some of those moves can be extremely foolish, extremely expensive. And in the case of my father's family, it you know, made a lot of people mad, because one person let's just say the narcissism got the best of it.
Yeah.
And you know, it's too bad, but that's a real life example, and you know, it'd be nice to be able to share those kinds of stories with young people today that are growing up, because they hear all this stuff on social networks and they don't have a clue. They don't have a clue what's in store for them once they go down that road. And, you know, here's some of the other famous quotes about communism and socialism. And a lot of them are from Maggie Thatcher.
Okay.
Shared misery. And my uncle was a bona fide example of shared misery. And this is mine. I see communism versus capitalism as opposites. And in communism, you have participation trophies. So your life becomes a participation trophy rather than something based on merit, which is, you know, pure capitalism is everything would be based on merit, which is you work for something, you get it.
Right.
And in my tax experience lifetime, I've seen families give all kinds of monies and gifts to their kids and whatnot. Some kids come out pretty good, but most of them, you know, the gifts kind of don't mean that much. Now, if the kid works and earns something, then they appreciate it. And so those are some of the things. And can you imagine, Peter, in a communist environment, you go and you say, you know, inflation's up. I need more money. Who do you talk to about getting a raise? Well, you go to a bureaucrat with a checklist. Mm. And, oh, my God, it's not a boss. Mm. It's the government you're talking to.
Yeah.
And so, holy smokes, you think insurance companies are bad on your health care and you go to ask for something? Can you imagine going to the government and asking for something?
Well, there's so many layers you have to go through. I mean, it isn't just go down to the office and talk to the boss, right? You're talking to multiple levels of people, and who knows if you're talking to the right person.
Yeah, and let's look at a controlled economy in Iran right now, and we've heard the Mirdad and those, you know, can you imagine being in Iran right now with inflation going through the roof? Where do you go to get help? You know, it's got to be really, really, really difficult.
Yeah, they just have to, well, they could just sell more oil, right? Well, that doesn't necessarily filter down to the everyday person.
Yeah, and the other little concept that I found in going through this research material on tax rates in the different economies and different countries you look today, and one of the proponents inside the Democrat Party is Bernie Sanders, and they're raising all kinds of stink and stuff about oligarchs.
Right.
Okay, and what he's talking about are economic oligarchs. If you switch to a system with communism or extreme socialism, you're swapping economic oligarchs for political oligarchs. And so what tends to happen in, you know, political communist countries is that you have a group of people that live well, but they're the decision makers.
Right, we're going to come right back, and again, we're in our teaching time now with Walt Kiro from Elevated Tax and Accounting. We're going to come right back as Talk Back continues on the Montana Talks Radio Network.
Hey, if your community is affected by wildfires, contractors may approach you with incredible promises to help you recover. However, they may be dishonest individuals hoping to take advantage of your situation. Don't be a victim. If you suspect fraud, contact NICB at reportinsurancefraud.org. A public service message from the National Insurance Crime Bureau.
Hey, we're back. Welcome back to Talk Back, everybody. I'm Peter Christian, Nick Christensen, taking your phone calls this morning. Our good friend Walt Kiro, a resident CPA from Elevated Tax and Accounting. Let's continue with the teaching time, please.
Yeah, well, we're almost done.
Okay.
And, you know, in try to being fair with all this, with the three isms that we're talking about, a balanced way to think about these systems is that each of the system tries to solve a real problem. But in doing so, they also create its own challenges. And we'll pick on the commies first.
Unintended consequences.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
With communism, the main problems it is trying to answer is focusing on equality. Basic needs can be guaranteed and less wealth concentration. But how's it going to, you know, create that? Well, the only way it can do it is through force. And that's where it gets really kind of ugly. And I don't know if we want to go there. But the second thing, capitalism encourages innovation, entrepreneurship, efficiency, consumer choice, often generates high economic growth. And so, but what happens as a result, we end up with large wealth inequalities. Because there's me and you, Peter, and you, Nick.
Right.
And then there's Elon Musk. But there's a huge difference in everybody's abilities. Now, I wasn't super good in school. I was okay. But, you know, my wife was a brainiac. And so is it fair? Should we all equal have all get straight A's or straight B's or straight C's and everybody's treated the same regardless of input or merit or work or all that stuff when it comes to grades? Because, you know, it's kind of funny. Oh, if one student gets straight A's and the other one gets straight C's, well, wouldn't it be fair to, you know, take all those A's and make them B's and all the C's and make them B's? Yeah, you know, by, you know, taking from one and giving to another.
Right.
Well, that's kind of what happens in the when you have the government forcing equality of income. And it's regardless of how hard you work.
And see, I was going to say, it would be so my hard work doesn't mean as much if I'm not going to be able to benefit from it.
Right. And a lot of it has to do with having enough guts, if you will,
right,
to take risk. And that's where one of Elon Musk, that's one of his strongest attributes. He's willing to take risks. You look at SpaceX, his first three attempts for his rockets to go up all blew up. But he kept at it.
Right.
He kept at it. And then with socialism.
But he also had the capital to do so.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, he took a risk getting into PayPal. And
right,
him and his buddies, when they made PayPal very profitable, and they sold out, and they all went in their different directions. But he was willing to take a risk. And then finally, with socialism, on the balanced way of thinking about it, is it reduces inequality. It's a stronger, has stronger social safety nets, and it has broader access to healthcare, education, and other services. So it's kind of, I like to call socialism, as it's defined that way,
right,
has a bourbon. It is taking, you know, parts of each, both capitalism and communism, and trying to take, you know, make the best of those worlds. But again, you end up with bureaucrats with checklists. And, you know, whether it's in healthcare, if you have a death panel, you're going to have a bureaucrat with a checklist.
Mm.
And if you get sick and you're, you know, if you're over 65, well, you wanted a good life. Well, yeah.
We're not going to waste any resources on you.
Right. We're going to ration health care.
Yeah.
And so, you know, no matter what they say, we can say Medicare for all and maybe health care for none. So we'll see what happens in the long run on that. But, you know, in talking about those taxes, it's going to be it's always going to be a struggle over what the goal is. And so if the goal is to increase spending, and I'll be talking about that later if I get to my stack of stuff.
Sure.
With a recent school study, school funding interim commission findings. They just came out with a study, and we'll talk about that later. But that's it for tax time.
All right, so we have about a little more than a minute before we take our commercial break, and the phones are already starting to light up.
Well, good.
They've been unbusy now, and so we have Dave already waiting, and Nick's on the phone with some other folks. So if you have a question or a comment for Walt Carroll, our resident CPA, we encourage you to go ahead and give us a call. The phone lines are open now, and the numbers, of course, you know them by now, 406-721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. Of course, Walt Kuro is the head guy at Elevated Tax and Accounting, and over 50 years of tax preparation experience. So.
Yeah, after 50 years, who's counting?
Yeah.
What the heck?
You know that drill.
Oh, yeah, I do. As a matter of fact, I got over 50 years in radio, but who's counting? Anyway, so if you have a question or a comment for Walt, please pick up the phone, give us a call. Nick's already talking with folks, and hopefully we'll get you on as well. Again, the phone numbers are 406-721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. Walt appears a couple times a month and shares all sorts of wonderful advice, not only facts and figures, but also genuine tax advice, person to person. So we're going to come back with that when we return right after this timeout. Talkbackers brought to you.
Dennis Bragg updating the Town Square weather. Conditions remaining sunny and warm for the second half of the week as high pressure helps with what could be one of our last stretches of 90-plus degree weather this summer. Wednesday's high in the upper 80s, and then anywhere from 90 to 95 Thursday and Friday. Overnight lows will stay comfortable around 50 degrees with a few clouds. Regional fire smoke could reappear from time to time. Increasing clouds expected later Friday with a slight chance of rain, then a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms again Saturday. Highs back into the 80s.
Maybe it was a family vacation or a school field trip. But there you were, standing in awe at a national park. We are the National Park Foundation. And together with you, we're creating a future where every person, every generation, gets their chance at an unforgettable moment. Today, tomorrow, forever. Donate at nationalparks.org/foundation.
When I deployed, I didn't realize that even the air we were breathing was dangerous. Veterans like us are now eligible for new VA care and benefits based on when and where we served. Apply today. Visit va.gov/PACT.
Welcome back to Talk Back. All right. For this Wednesday, August 19th, and of course, our special guest here in the studio this morning, our resident CPA, Walt Kirov, Elevated Tax and Accounting, and we've got folks waiting on the line to talk with you, sir. Marilyn is up first. Marilyn, good morning. You're on with Walt. Go ahead.
Hi, Marilyn.
Yes, good morning. I am concerned about the storm sewer charges that are coming up about every 6 months now. It used to be on our tax bill, but about 2 years ago, they switched it over to the public service, the water and sewer.
Yeah.
But the storm sewer continually increases. How come?
Oh, well, because how come? Because they feel their costs are going up and they need to get the money from somewhere. But it begs the question, and the question is why did they separate out the storm charges, sewer charges, from the property tax function? Is it a way of keeping the property taxes lower than what it had been in the past? And what I would like to say is it gives the appearance.
I think they wanted more money.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Every time they take stuff off the tax form, they put it on something else, and then there's an increase. And I'm just a little perturbed.
Just a little? It sounds like more than perturbed, Marilyn. God bless
right.
you for
You're right.
God bless
You're
you
right.
for bringing that up. But it gives the appearance of what I was going to say, bait and switch. And so,
well, look how many people pay the storm sewer.
Yeah.
Every foot, you know. They're making a bundle. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah.
It's called shared sacrifice.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Or shared thank misery. Thank you very much for giving my consideration.
Yeah. But here's another concept to think about, Marilyn, is If you're paying income taxes at, say, 15% federal and 5% for Montana, let's say 20%. So if sewer charges go up by $100 a year, how much do you have to make before tax and then pay the tax to get $100? And so if you're at 20%, you're probably looking at you need to come up with $125 of income resource, pay the $25 or $20 tax or whatever it may ends up being for you to have $100 to pay more sewer charge. So a lot of people, you know, don't pick up on that. And so it's a penalty when inflation and rates go up.
Well, I'll tell you what, let's try to get one more call in before a break. Stu is on the line. Stu, you're on with Walt. Go ahead.
Hi there.
Hello, Stu.
Hello.
Hi, Stu, you're on. Go ahead,
Stu. Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Okay, good to talk to you. Peter, you're doing a great job. Walt, thank you so much for being a part of this. I just want to say a couple of things about taxation. I've had 44 companies. I've traveled 39 different countries working, and I'm retired here in Montana, about 69. And, you know, I've been teaching economics to all my employees ever since. Walt, there's a couple of things about socialism. Let's get back to that, because I've been to all of the countries that you mentioned.
Yeah.
And one thing to always consider is the population of those countries that have adopted a social network. They're
sure
extremely smaller than the 350 million people we have here. But I always like to say this. This is one of the greatest things in the world. You know, I listen to all my young kids and all the people on the internet.
We've got about a minute and a half, so quickly, please.
Okay, all right, quickly. We talk about what they learn on social media, how my 28-year-old son says, it's not affordable, Dad. It's not affordable because our parents saved their money. Our kids now have too many options in the cereal aisle of life, and therefore all they do is spend their money. They don't save. If we want to make life affordable, you have to put money away and learn how to be resourceful with your money. Thank you so much, gentlemen. Have a great day.
That is brilliant.
Oh, yeah.
It's so true.
It's the choir speaking here, because it's a lovely description of what's going on. And the only thing I have to say, one of my favorite clients is a guy who works at Walmart, retired, and is a multimillionaire. Why? Because he saved his money. So it can be done, even by people at retail jobs.
You bet. We're going to come right back. We have Perry, Dave, Nancy, and Susan all waiting in line to talk with our resident CPA, Walt Carroll from Elevated Tax and Accounting. So we're going to be right back with more and get your calls on right after this quick timeout on the Montana Talks Radio Network. It's the Wednesday edition of TalkBack. Peter Christian here and Nick Christensen taking your phone calls, producing TalkBack this morning. And we love to have Walt Carroll joining us, one of our regular and original guests on this show from the Elevated Tax and Accounting. And the folks are lined up to talk to you, Walt. So Perry is next. Perry, good morning. You're on with Walt.
Hi, Perry.
Good morning. Good morning, Walt. I just want to thank you for bringing up the element of education in the problems that kids are having these days with economics and taxation, and the fallacy or fantasy that communism and socialism are somehow good ways to go as opposed to capitalism. You know, it goes all the way back to the Frankfurt School. And for all of you parents out here in Montana, go down to your school board meetings, because these people are not teaching your kids to think. And that has to change, or we are doomed. But, you know, it's always refreshing to hear somebody, Dave or Harry is going to come on here and talk about how socialism is such a wonderful thing, and it's already here. And it is basically already here for a lot of, they've taken over a lot of our institutions. Socialism is always a step towards communism, down the ladder into the cellar of communism.
Yeah,
and they're essentially the same thing. But, you know, we just have to understand that there's no way to compromise with these people. You talk about equity versus equality. Equality is capitalism, that everybody gets a chance to be everything they can be. Equity is the best and the brightest being held back and the lowest being propped up at everybody else's expense. And in the end, that's going to make everybody miserable. It's like taking the books, Animal Farm, and Lord of the Flies and mashing them together. That's communism.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, Perry.
Thanks for the call.
Thanks for the call. And I think you're in Columbus, and that's just a few stone's throws away from where my parents grew up in Red Lodge. So, if you grew up on a farm in during the 1920s and 30s, especially with the Depression, you learned about economics because you had to know about it to survive. So, anyway, but thanks for the comments, Perry.
You bet. Let's get Dave on the line. Dave, good morning. You're on with Walt.
Yeah, thank you for the caller just ahead of me. I enjoy talking about government. So, first of all, I'm kind of purist as far as what is democracy. Democracy really, in its purest form, does not exist in this country. It's a representative democracy, which is a modified form of democracy. So, and as far as...
Yeah, before we get off of that, Dave, sure. Pure democracy would be anarchy, because can you imagine everybody in the country voting on everything that comes up, every budget amendment, everything? It would be chaotic.
Oh, I agree 100%. And we don't have a pure free market either. Free market would be totally bad too, because government regulations are involved in everything that businesses do. You cannot go to the store and buy a piece of meat without government rules involved in that. Free market is total chaos too, because businesses would be free to send out food that would kill you and you would be unsure whether it was safe to eat. I mean, government is involved in everything in our market, so it is not pure free market. As far as pure communism, that is impossible too. Okay? Pure communism would mean that everyone owned everything, and as such, they would all agree together. And pure communism does not exist in this country. Socialism, on the other hand, is we have socialism in our country right now, like the previous caller called. You lose your job, you're unemployed, the government gives you money. That's socialism. To say that having socialism, a little bit of socialism in our country, it immediately leads to communalism and total ownership, I disagree with that. If socialism goes too far, there's a step back. I'll give you an example. Sweden. Sweden had a lot of socialism, and it got to the point where it was interfering in the free market of businesses, and they stepped back from it. They reduced their socialism. And, their debt load, their national debt load is gross national product is only 30%. Their debt load, whereas ours in America, our gross national debt load is over 100%. So, I mean,
yeah,
socialism
and climbing.
And climbing. Yeah. But to say that socialism is totally evil is okay. Exaggerating in my mind. It can be good and it can be bad.
Dave, thanks for the call. Go ahead. Walt,
okay,
please.
Yeah, a couple of things. And the second caller, Stuart, brought this up, and I'm glad he did, is that in Norway and Finland, the population's about 5 million. Sweden is about twice that, at 10 million. So even collectively, all three of those countries, you're looking at 20 million people. And, look at Finland and Norway would be about the population of the state of Washington. So we're talking about kind of small potatoes compared to what we're dealing with here in the United States. And so they're more flexible because they're smaller and they can do a lot of
more
things.
More nimble.
But We'll take a break and come right back.
Yes, we will. All right, we're going to come right back. We have Nancy, we have Steve, we have Rick. And, by the way, several phone lines are open. If you have a question for Walt Carroll, of course, he's our resident CPA. So if you have a question about taxes, that would be good, too. He's our from Elevated Tax and Accounting, and we deeply appreciate him sharing his well over 50 years of tax preparation experience. Thank you, Walt.
Yeah. Oh, hey. Glad to share.
We appreciate it. And of course, the phone lines are open at 406-721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. And we are proud to say that TalkBack is statewide on the Montana Talks Radio Network. So chances are, wherever you go in Montana, you'll find a station that carries TalkBack with programs like Walt Caro. So
yeah.
we're spreading the love, if you will, all over the state of Montana. And then we appreciate everybody who's listening and calling in. We're going to get to our callers when we come back from the break. 406-721-1290 on the Montana Talks Radio Network.
Thinking about building.
We're with Liam after his fourth military move, when being new is starting to get old. We're with all service members and their families. Are you with them? Learn more at USO.org today.
Talk back. Continues here on this Wednesday, August 19th. Walt Carroll, our special guest here in the studio this morning, our regular guest, I should say, one of the original guests on this show, Walt Carroll, Elevated Tax and Accounting, and we have folks waiting to talk with you like Nancy. Nancy, good morning, you're on. Go ahead.
Hi, Nancy.
Yeah. Hi, Walt. Good morning to you, and good morning to everyone listening. I want to point out that Congresswoman AOC is already going around talking about free energy for everyone. And I am not surprised by this at all. But, you know, the realization, everybody is forgetting that our nation is $40 trillion in debt. And a lot of this debt has been caused by fraud in mm-hmm. our social programs.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like to actually see the welfare department slowly be dismantled and just let it go. A country like ours shouldn't have a welfare department to begin with. We help one another out. You know, we could have a disaster fund for our brothers and sisters when they're in droughts or severe weather conditions like hurricanes or tornadoes, you know, things like that.
Yeah.
But I want to know, this DSA idea isn't going to go very far because of this debt. What I'm worrying about is hyperinflation. So my idea is, to stop taxing. There's no amount of taxation that's going to get us out of this $40 trillion debt. Maybe you agree or disagree, Walt. I don't know. I'd like to hear your ideas, but there's just no way. I don't know what's going to happen here if we don't start dismantling some of these social departments. And like I said, fraud. We've got third world people in our country now that have taken away from us, the Somalians. We've got international crime gangs, cartels that are taking our money out of our Social Security, our Medicaid, our Medicare. It's just awful.
All right.
I'd like to hear your thoughts on this. Thank you so much, Walt.
Thank you
okay.
for the call.
Nancy, thanks for the call. And over the past few months, I've been getting it in my head, and I should have known this 50 years ago, but what drives taxes? Obviously, it's spending, because we elect people and they have a body politic, if you will, like state and local and federal governments. And they say, oh, how much money do we need? And then, of course, that's always the rub of what do we need?
Always
but
need
they
more.
Come
thank
up,
you. Yeah.
They come up with a budget and then, oh, we need X dollars of tax to fund that budget. And so, you know, we elect people at various levels, state, local, and federal government, of which quite a number of them are basically ignorant of economics. They, you know, they're some of them are a product of our governmental schools, and not that it's all bad, but the point is they don't have enough life experience. You know, one of the greatest teachers of handling money is being in business for yourself. And
right.
you know this, Peter. Oh, I can only spend so much money because I only earn so much. And, you know, if you budget your money on the basis of what you know you're going to get, then we wouldn't have so much deficit spending. And I know Dave Ramsey, you know, he lives and swears by that. And you know, the last time I visited the Dave Ramsey's offices, they were just building a brand new building
Wow.
in a town called Franklin, Tennessee. You go to Nashville.
Right.
The first major town south of Nashville is called Brentwood. That's where his office used to be. But when I was there, he was building a brand new office building, $35 million, paid cash.
Wow.
No debt on that building.
Yeah.
And so
he's living his philosophy that he talks about on the air.
Oh, yeah. And if we could instill that kind of a philosophy into our elected officials, you know, there are some that get that, but it's not a majority.
Well, it's obvious you can't build a highway and get it all paid for and everything done before anybody drives on it. I mean, there are things that have to be financed out over many, many years.
Yeah.
But maybe we do that too much.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so where are we?
Yeah. And, you know, Nancy's right. There's a tremendous amount of money that is lost in fraud. And some say waste and abuse, because there's a lot of duplicate programs around this country, especially at the federal level. But, you know, if you have illegal aliens, or if you want to call them unauthorized, I don't care. They're just here that shouldn't be here. And if we're, paying for their medical services when they shouldn't be here, that hurts the existing citizenry. Because you're taking resources away from people that are here that should be here.
So I guess if you want to change that, you need to get in touch with the people who run our government and say, we need to put a stop to this.
Yeah, enough already.
Yeah. Okay, we're about a minute away from our top of the hour break. Another hour lies before us with Walt Kiro from Elevated Tax and Accounting. And we're going to ask Steve and Rick and Jeff, if they don't mind holding through the top of the hour break. We'll get back to you just as quickly as we can. Go ahead.
Yeah, and one thing, I haven't totally answered Nancy's question about what my thoughts are. I'll do that in future shows about reducing spending. I have some thoughts there, but that's going to be the answer, is cutting back on spending.
Do you think we can do that?
For some people, yeah.
Yeah.
It's possible.
Well, let's hope Uncle Sam is one of those people. We're going to come right back after the top of the hour break. We'd love to hear from you, as Walt Kiro from Elevated Tax and Accounting is our special guest here in the studio, answering your tax questions when we come back after the top of the hour. So thanks for joining us here on TalkBack statewide on the Montana Talks Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Views and opinions expressed on TalkBack are not those of the staff, management, or advertisers.
This is the Montana News Network's TalkBack. Join the conversation at 721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309 with producer Nick Christensen and your host, Peter Christian.
Hey, good morning once again, everyone. Welcome. It's hour number two of the Wednesday edition of TalkBack. And we are privileged to have with us the best, ladies and gentlemen, the one and only Walt Kiro from Elevated Tax and Accounting, our resident CPA, certified public accountant, and always comes with his stack of stuff, which sometimes we get so many calls, you never even get to your stack of stuff.
I know. I want to get to one, but we'll deal with callers first.
Absolutely. Let's get Steve on. He's been waiting all the way through the break. Steve, go ahead, please.
Hi, Steve.
Hey, Walt. You're my favorite guy on this show. You talk about how to reduce payment to our government, no matter which side is in charge. They're equally culpable in the destruction of this country. But I want to bring it back to taxation and ask you some questions about, well, I have a show idea for you first.
Sure.
Being the third most hated caller on this program behind probably Harry and Dave, because I equally hate both sides so much. I did want to suggest a show idea for you the next time you're on. Mm-hmm. I've heard a number of women call in today about fees the city of Missoula is charging. And one, I think you should have just a show dedicated to how to reduce payments to the city and county of Missoula. You should walk people through how to contest their valuations. You should show people how to contact utilities like the city water services to contest consumption of sewer rates and things like that. Those are all things that can be done. But I think most of the public is either intimidated or doesn't understand, and it's purposefully confusing, in my opinion. And certainly, you know, folks like the governor don't want you to do that either, as was clear on the last time he was on last week, where he talked zero about trying to reduce property taxes or any initiative that he could lead through the legislature to limit government spending. So that's an idea for you. And the reason why I think this is so critically important is because I hear these callers who call into the show and talk about the property taxes in Missoula. And I know the same is going on in Bozeman and Helena. And there is a displacement occurring where people like the folks who call into this show in particular, who lean more conservative, but live in these municipalities, are being forced out. And while it might not be purposeful, it is a force factor because they just can't afford it anymore. And also they don't want to be around people that have, you know, support our trans youth flags in their cars as if those kids are somehow endangered or threatened. They don't want to be around Black Lives Matter flags, you know, when clearly those scam artists are just, you know, appeasing to guilty white people.
Steve, forgive me, but do you have a question for Walt, please?
Oh, yeah, I do. Well, that's my question. Could you lead a show? And Peter, the reason why this is important is because these people are leaving our communities, and there's no one doing any critical reporting on this to demonstrate how folks, when they leave, there's a vacuum. And what happens is people from California, people from Oregon, Washington, they move into these municipalities and make them even more woke or whatever the hell, you know, heck you want to call it. And so I think it's really important for someone as skilled as Walt to come in and teach residents in these municipalities, Helena, Bozeman, Missoula, about how to contest these fees, whether it's property taxes, water bills, et cetera, because there is a path to beat the government. There is a path.
All right.
It just needs to be spread. So thank you.
All right. Thank you for the call. We're just seconds away from a break. So Walt's written all this down.
Yeah, I'm right. Let's just take the break, and then I'll come when we come back.
Absolutely.
We're going to
get right back. 721-1290 is our number. You're listening to Talk Back statewide right here on the Montana Talks Radio Network. Back with more with Walt Carroll right after this.
Right here in with KGRZ Sports, here's your sports update. Brought to you by Campbell Kia of Missoula. New and pre-owned vehicles at a no-pressure buying experience. Located off Expressway and online at CampbellKia.com. Here's Ace Sourwine.
In for Ace Sourwine, I'm Denny Bedard. Grizz fans can get the latest on Montana Grizzly football with the head coach. The Grizzly Football Coaches Show returns to the Den Restaurant at the top of Linda Vista Boulevard for a third year, starting Wednesday, August 26th from 7 to 8 p.m. New head coach Bobby Kennedy and the voice of the Grizz, Riley Corcoran, will bring you the latest Grizzly football news in front of a live audience. If you cannot be part of that audience, and we hope that you can be, the show will also be broadcast on KGVO FM 98.3 and KGRZ FM 92.7. The Wednesday Grizzly Football Coaches Show at the Den beginning August 26th. For Ace Sourwine, I'm Denny Bedard.
Dennis Bragg updating the town square weather. Conditions remaining sunny and warm for the second half of the week as high pressure helps with what could be one of our last stretches of 90-plus degree weather this summer. Wednesday's high in the upper 80s, and then anywhere from 90 to 95 Thursday and Friday. Overnight lows will stay comfortable around 50 degrees with a few clouds. Regional fire smoke could reappear from time to time. Increasing clouds expected later Friday with a slight chance of rain, then a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms again Saturday. Highs back into the 80s.
Hey, we're back on Talk Back. And another hour is stretches before us here with the wisdom of Walt Kiro from Elevated Tax and Accounting. He's over 50 years of experience in preparation of taxes. And that's why everybody wants to talk with you. Go ahead.
Okay, I want to reply to Steve's question, even though it was kind of a loaded question because it took on so many aspects.
Right.
But first, he mentioned women making calls. And I just like to bring up the idea for a lot of women who are widows, and they, you know, they're stuck on fixed income. One of the most tragic thing of our tax system, whether it's property or income taxes, is those folks are on a fixed income. So if inflation raises tax bills, either property or income tax, they are caught between a rock and a hard place. I would use some other more descriptive function, but they suffer the worst consequences from rising property income taxes. The thing is on our property taxes relative to other states. Now I say relative. Montana's taxes are not that high property tax wise. Now commercial property taxes are through the roof because the legislature did a shell game. They moved property taxes from residential owners and moved them over to commercial property, second homes, that kind of thing. So anyway, so to a certain extent, you know, I want to go a little Pat Barkey on Steve and say it's one of the reasons property values are going up is supply and demand. We've got people moving here that is putting stress on the supply. And when you have a shortage of supply, here's where Pat Barkey comes in. The price is going to go up. So there's that aspect. And I like this idea is why don't we as taxpayers all go Beth Dutton on the city and the county property tax system. And the same thing with state income tax. We'll go Beth Dutton on them. We'll see what we can do.
Okay. All right. You have to watch the Yellowstone series, though. I understand that. Rick is on the line. Rick, good morning, sir. You're on with Walt.
Hi, Rick.
Hey Walt. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, I graduated high school well before the Department of Lack of Education was implemented in May of, I believe, 1980.
Yeah.
Right now, statistics show that people that are middle-aged Americans that were in that era of the Department of Lack of Education, that middle America, as far as their age, cannot comprehend or read at anything higher than a 7th or 8th grade level. That brings up my second comment. My son just graduated college about 3 weeks ago, and he's working today his first job as a primary school teacher in a small town here in western Montana. And he went to school in a small town in western Montana. And the lack of education that he has, and he was always on the dean's list as far as his classes went.
Uh-huh.
But the lack of education in business that he has, that he wasn't taught in high school. When I was in high school, when I left, I had a basic understanding of contracts, of mortgages, of interest, of debt, interest on debt, mm-hmm. all of the things that you need to get. And I bought my first house when I was 20 years old.
Yeah.
And I can't, they push diversities in the school, the courses in the diversity, but they send them out and they don't even know they didn't even know what a checkbook is. Mm-hmm. Seriously. Kids don't even know what checkbooks are. They don't know what contracts are. Do you think the Department of Education should be either revamped or completely stopped? It used to be in the Education Department was part of the Department of Health before 1980. And I just think nowadays the kids that come out of schools, the schools aren't doing their job as far as the business end of the world goes, which that's what makes the world run is business. And do you think the Department of Education should just be cut out?
Thanks for the call.
Well, as far as being cut out, I think it needs some major reform so that it takes into account what you're talking about, Rick, what a lot of one of the buzzwords around the University of Montana for the last decade or two has been calling experiential learning, which is a combination of book learning plus, as you say, you know, if I was teaching accounting, I would consider myself as doing a good job if my students could reconcile a bank account. And, you know, because by then they would know what a check is, what a deposit is, what a transfer is, what a debit memo is.
And what a balance is.
They would know all of that stuff. Yeah. And that would go football fields closer to the goal of making, of getting our student population what we would say economically or financially literate. And I see that as a big hole. And I think one of the reasons it happens is most teachers are not financially literate either.
Right.
And so, you know, how can you have a teacher teach anything if they don't know the subject matter?
And if the child's parents are not sufficiently schooled in that, how are they going to share the information and experience that they don't have?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah. So.
And, you know, good for Rick. Has a son who graduated and is now a teacher, and what do you do if you don't have the knowledge and the skills? There's plenty of ways to go out and get them these days, especially with the computers and internet and now especially with AI. AI can be very, very helpful in this arena.
You bet. We're coming up against a break, and when we come back, we have Jeff, Sue, and Joe, and a couple phone lines open at 406-721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. In case you just turned on the radio and are joining us here either on the radio or online, our guest here in the studio is our friend Walt Caro, who's been a constant guest on this show from Elevated Tax and Accounting, and we are very grateful for him sharing his expertise with us over 50 years of tax preparation experience. So, and you're hearing it whenever Walt answers these questions. So if you have a question or a comment, again, the number 406-721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. And of course, TalkBack is all across the state now on the Montana Talks Radio Network. So we're going to come right back, get more wisdom, economic wisdom from Walt after this.
Montana State News Network.
I'm Dennis Bragg. Firefighters working the West Pioneer fires expecting the Parablazes, the Sand Creek fire, and Bobcat Lakes fire will be more active again this week as the weather starts to dry out. Fire behavior analyst Alan Carson says the blazes have been a little more active, but nothing like last week.
Seen creeping, smoldering, large logs are holding heat. They're burning next to smaller trees. Enough heat is getting into there. You're seeing a few isolated trees torch up, throw sparks in the air. So as we get into these warming days, we're going to see what we call creeping fire, backing fire, and maybe some flanking where it's burning across the hillside. It's going to get into some pockets of heavies, get a little bit more intensity, and you might see groups of trees starting to torch in the next 2 to 3 shifts.
The Sand Creek fire is still under 32,000 acres with 2% containment. The Bobcat Lakes fire is around 9,800 acres with 19% containment. This is the Montana State News Network. The Department of the Interior pushing ahead with a plan to repeal a roadless area conservation rule for national forest lands, blaming the restrictions for leading to mismanaged forests and fire danger. Nick Northern updates the story.
A new federal proposal could change how millions of acres of Montana's national forests are managed. The USDA is proposing to repeal the 2001 roadless area conservation rule, which has protected roughly 45 million acres of national forest land from most new road construction and logging. Supporters say changing the rule would give the Forest Service more flexibility, including for wildfire prevention. Critics worry, however, about the impact on wildlife habitat, clean water, along with Montana's backcountry. The USDA is accepting public comments for 30 days, with the deadline expected to be September 21st. For the Montana State News Network, I'm Nick Northern.
It's a certainty the pitch will end up in court. Conservation groups have been voicing concerns since the Trump administration first suggested the change last year. This is the Montana State News Network.
Hi, I'm Attorney General Austin Knutson. When you see emergency lights on the side of the road, slow down and move over. It's dangerous for first responders to help motorists on the side of the road while cars are buzzing by at 80 miles an hour. In Montana, when you see emergency lights on the side of the road, you must slow down and move over, or face a fine or even jail time. It's the law. When you see someone pulled over, slow down and move over. Sponsored by the Montana Department of Justice.
Montana's future is on the line. Will you stand up and fight? Montana was built on hard work, strong families, and economic freedom. Americans for Prosperity is building a grassroots movement, and we need you to help lead the charge. Our wages are among the lowest in the nation. Our children rank near the bottom in math and reading. Home ownership is becoming an out-of-reach dream for many, while government interference and radical regulations strangle our industries. Join us today. Visit AmericansForProsperity.org. Paid for by Americans for Prosperity.
Hey, welcome back to Talk Back. And the phone lines are completely full for our friend and resident CPA, Walt Kiro. So let's jump right back in. I believe Jeff has been waiting the longest. Jeff, go ahead, please.
Hi, Jeff.
Hey, hello, Walt. Hello, Montana. This has been a wide-ranging show. I called initially to talk about socialism and want to get there, but... You know, for people who blame schools for their kids' lack of education, they need to look at themselves before they look at the schools, because the parents are the primary educators. And I'm not going to say that we've done a great job with all of our kids. We did what we could, and then they become adults, and their various personalities take flight, and they will do what they want. And there's some frustrations and disappointments in terms of choices that they make, but that's the nature of parenting. But certainly schools can play a part and need to play a part, but they're not the primary part. And I think we need to make sure that we realize that. Second, too, I was disappointed when Governor Gianforte was on, because, as usual, he did emphasize a flat tax for income tax. And throughout my listening on this show, I don't think I've missed many shows, and I've never heard anyone complain about the Montana income tax rate. But I have heard a lot of people. It was just earlier this week, I think it was an older gentleman named Gary, who was in his 90s, who had to leave his home because he couldn't afford property taxes.
Mm-hmm.
That's wrong. That's just absolutely wrong. And I think the governor has the wrong focus. I think the legislature tried, but with the nasty nine defecting to the Republicans, they passed an ineffective property tax bill. And I hope in this session all that gets rectified. In regards to socialism, it's all about control. There's folks talk about economics and this and that and the other, but in the end, it all comes down to control. There's a elite, and it was true in Marxism, in the Soviet Union. It was true, and it is still true in the People's Republic of China. You can see that with Xi Jinping in North Korea, in Cuba, all over, there's an elite who think that they know best. And even where it's not strictly communism, like Iran, there's that elite who own all the companies and skim their money off the top. And that's the problem, is that it's a lack of liberty. Folks are not free to live their lives as they want. And when you come down to it, you can argue the economics of socialism back and forth. And Sweden, you know, they learned some lessons. They haven't learned them all. But in the end, if you keep your eye focused on liberty, if society or circumstances or culture takes us away from liberty, that's where the problem is going to happen.
You've got that.
Yeah,
so,
I think I'm
Jeff, thank you.
Yeah, Jeff, I'm with you in that, you know, education begins at home. But then not only for financial literacy, but also, you know, the public schools could do a better job on that. In fact, I know I doubt they spend much time, if any, on the concept of financial literacy. But that can also be applied to other things. And what better way, I think, we are going to represent our own best self-interest. And I'm not talking about being selfish or narcissistic. I'm just saying is that people can represent and take care of themselves and learn to depend on themselves rather than depend on some bureaucrat with a checklist. Because when you get into socialism and communism, you're going to start dealing with those checklists. And, you know, if you don't fit the right box, you ain't going to make it. So it's best to rely on yourself rather than relying on some governmental function. So now that's not everybody can do that, but most able-bodied people can. That's all I got to say
bet,
on
you
that.
You bet. Let's try to get one more call in before we take a break. Sue, you're on with Walt. Go ahead.
Hi, Sue.
Hi, Walt. I'm going to join your Beth Dutton task force.
Okay, we'll get that going.
Great. I would greatly appreciate it. I've been trying. Actually, I sent a letter. I'm circling back to the property taxes. And the gentleman that was referring, it was only hitting Bozeman and Missoula. I live in Big Fork. I was hit with a 98% increase this year. My neighbor.
Oh,
and
is
the,
that all?
The gentleman just talked about.
Is that all?
Yeah, 98%? Well, he got 101, and he's 91 years old, and he does have to sell his house. His house is for sale. I've tried since October. I sent a certified letter to, I've talked to every senator, congressman, tried to talk to governors, all of them, and nobody, there's a couple of local congressmen that are helpful, but nobody cares because what they did, what I've learned is 80% tax reduction for most Montanans, a little increase for 10%, and the other 10% got slammed.
Yeah.
And we got absolutely, and mine's been, and I expected to increase incrementally over the years, you know, minorly, but this was just a total, I don't know what we're going to do because it's huge. It's beyond huge. And I can't get any traction. So I'm calling to ask you, can you give me some advice or maybe just people should be aware that, you know, it got me this time, but they're coming for you because this is, well, something when I moved here in 2015 that I never expected.
I'll tell you what, we're gonna hold you over. We're like okay. Seconds away from the break, so Walt will address that, and we'll continue that conversation when we come back from the break. Walt Kiro from Elevated Tax and Accounting here on TalkBack.
I don't know about you, but
Wounded Warrior Project helps post 9/11 veterans and their families realize what's possible with support and resources that bring warriors together and empower them to become stronger, both inside and out.
It's possible to begin healing,
to get the help you need,
to find peace.
And as each warrior's needs evolve, so do we, because these last 20 years are just the beginning. Learn more at woundedwarriorproject.org/possible.
All right, thanks for joining us on this Wednesday edition of TalkBack. Walt Kiro from Elevated Tax and Accounting is joining us here in the studio this morning. And let us go to Sue. Is she still with us? So go ahead, please.
Yeah, and Sue, I'm going to rattle off a few questions for you, but because we were just playing Procol Harum's A Whiter Shade of Pale, I'm sure this 100-year-old is going through A Whiter Shade of Pale. Anyway, questions. Has anybody protested the valuation for this gentleman?
For him, I don't know if he has. I've protested. It's very random on the street. It was kind of a selective. It's a very discriminatory thing what they've done. It's when I walk up and down the street and ask people, and they're kind of shy actually to even answer my question. But it's been very random in the increases.
Yeah.
But his was 101. Mine was 98. My other neighbor's was like 97. And then some. No big deal. A couple $1,000s that went up. No big deal. So it's very. I just wonder. You know, I know that there's a house been on the market in our neighborhood for 2 years, And so whomever's deciding the value of my home, which I'd love to know who that person is, you know, taxes those people on that price that they've put their house in the market for or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then they can't sell it for anything even close to that. Do they give you a rebate for all the overtaxation when you put your house in the market for $1 million and you can only sell for $500? Do you get a rebate for that? I mean, it's so out of control. And I just need your advice. And I can't get any traction with anyone. And like yeah. I said, the certified letter to the county, that was in October 28th of 2025. And three times they promised to come out and then they never show. I know there's a lawsuit against it, but I don't think the lawsuit's getting traction because very few of the people had the increase like we did. So they don't realize how serious it is. And it's probably the first of many, mm-hmm. as we know how, you know, government works, but no one seems to care and no one seems to want to do anything about it. Mm-hmm. So I'm priced out, you know, so we're all getting priced out like that gentleman said. So I don't. And then no one wants to buy your house.
Yeah. The wheels of the property tax system in Montana churn very slowly. It wasn't too long ago when properties around Flathead Lake, very few were sold. And because of that, the market price went down. But to my knowledge, the state of Montana and the local counties never dropped the valuations, even though the marketplace was dropping. So it's a real slow process. But I would exhaust all resources if your taxes went up 98%. I would be screaming and hollering and going Beth Dutton on them.
You bet. Thank you for the call.
I am. But, you know, I get some really, from the governor's office, the aides or whomever answer the phone, it's pretty disrespectful. It's like, you know, we have other constituents that I need to get to. I'm like, I'm a constituent and you need to answer.
Yeah.
And I wrote a letter and I said, he said, well, we answered the letter. And I said, I didn't get it. Can you resend it? I don't know if we can do that. I said, are you sure you sent one? Oh yeah, I've got it right here. I said, can you read it to me? Well, here's basically what it says. Can you send it to me? No, I've got other constituents. I've got to go. You know, that kind of stuff over and over and over again.
Yeah, the brush off.
It's, oh, yeah, I'm brushed off. So I say I'm ready for Beth, my Beth act, because I don't know what to do. You know, I sold my life insurance policy to cover this round. And they go, oh, well, what's the new taxation this next year? What's it called? They're supposedly lowering taxes, property taxes. And
reassess property every 2 years.
Yeah, but they have some new homestead or something that's supposed to really help me and other people. And when we looked at it, it doesn't help me at all. Actually, it makes my situation worse.
Wow.
So I don't know what to do.
We have a minute before our break, so go ahead. I thank you for the call, but some quick comments here.
Well, I would exhaust all resources going to the County Property Tax Appeals Board. And since she's in Big Fork, that's in Flathead County. I'd be going to the County Tax Appeals Board and filing a protest. And then get as much help as you can. And part of the help is getting knowledgeable about how your property was assessed. And then going through all those steps, including the appeal.
You bet. And we're going to come right back. And the phone lines are full almost. We have Roger, Joe, Mark, and Harry all waiting to talk with Walt within the next 20 minutes. So we're going to come right back. This is Talk Back. In case you just joined us, we're statewide on the Montana Talks Radio Network. And Walt Kuro from Elevated Tax and Accounting is here in the studio this morning. A very popular guy. Again, our number 406-721-1290. We'll be right back. TalkBackers.
The more you listen to your kids, the closer you'll be. Find resources to help you support your kids and their emotional well-being at soundedouttogether.org. That's soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and Pivotal.
Well, this time is just flying by with Walt Kiro from Elevated Tax and Accounting. Only about 18 minutes left in our time together with Walt. So let's get as many calls in as we can. Roger's on the line. Roger, good morning. Go ahead.
Hi, Roger.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I'm living in a mobile home court, a big, huge mobile home court. And all told, this and two other units make up about 520 units. Well, I moved here at, you know, when I retired, I bought a mobile home and paid cash for it with my retirement money. Yeah. I figured it would be a good way to, you know, to continue my retirement. Well, big corporations from out of state bought the mobile home courts that we live in and began raising the rates and abolishing any services they have had here. At the beginning of this, for instance, this last year, and I might add, too, that a lot of us are living on Social Security, they increased the rent $60 a month at the beginning of the year. And then just arbitrarily, about a month or 2 months ago, they increased it again, the rent, $175 a month. It was my understanding that Governor Gianforte vetoed a bill that would have restricted some of these, you know, predatory rent increases. It was maybe House Bill 305, if I'm correct in that. And I just wonder, I guess my question is, does he not see what's going on? Is there no recourse for us? You know, they're squeezing the life out of us, and people on Social Security just can't afford it.
Yeah, you're talking fixed income. And when your income is fixed, and if your costs go up, like on your lot rent, it gets to be prohibitive. And so what are your choices? Your choices is to eat less and pay more for the rent, right? Isn't that what what I'm hearing from you, Roger?
Exactly. You know, I live in a I drive a car that's 26 years old or 24 years old. My television is with rabbit ears.
I have no
amenities, you know, that people would consider luxuries these days. But we're caught. We're in a legal trap. You know, a person in a mobile home that has bought his mobile home, what can you do? Can you pick up and move? No, where would I move to?
Yeah, and it might be worse where you move to in terms of cost. But that being said, are you filing? Because if you're on Social Security and you're paying lot rent and property taxes on your mobile home, you would qualify for the Montana Elderly Credit. And that's, you know, or they also call it a renter's credit. Now it's up to $1,100 a year. Are you getting that?
We do, just by virtue of my age, I suppose, or the fact maybe that I'm a veteran. I'm not sure what the reasoning is, but I do receive a property tax
break
benefit, a break. Yeah, and I'm going to say it was very generous, probably like 80%.
Yeah, but you should check out to see if you qualify for the what we call the elderly credit on your property taxes, and that's an actual tax refund from the state. And, you know, that's up to $1,100. And that's for people who have less than $45,000 a year in household income. And if you're just solely on Social Security, you most likely would qualify.
Well, as a matter of fact, I'm living on Social Security. I'm at the point where I don't even have to file. I don't file income tax because I don't make enough money, to make it worthwhile.
Yeah. Yeah, and I get that. But in Montana, even though you don't have to file, if you file a Montana income tax return, or you can file the form for the elderly credit. I would take a look at that and see if you can't get that, Roger, because that would help your situation out.
All right, let's get Joe on the line next. Joe, good morning. You're on with Walt Caro. Go ahead.
Hi, Joe.
Hi, Walt. In terms of the property taxes, I think probably a class action lawsuit might be an option where the property tax is actually an unearned income tax in masquerading as a property tax or a de facto unearned income tax. That would be the legal issue, in my opinion. But what I was going to call about initially was SNAP fraud.
Yeah.
And, you know, the food. Well, I was at a grocery store, and I'm kind of thrifty, you know. And anyway, this couple who had a grocery cart just full to the brim, you know, they had all this really nice hams and beautiful, you know. And it came to $3.50, and they pulled out the card. So then I got thinking about it, and then I asked a few of these cashiers whenever I have an opportunity to talk to somebody, and I say, well, is that unusual? And oh, the guy says, no, I've seen 1200. And then I was just up in Trout Creek, and I mentioned the same story to the guy at the Conoco, and he said, oh, I've seen 2200. But there's an article in Newsmax magazine, which is specifically talks about SNAP fraud, and apparently J.D. Vance is
We have one minute. Go ahead, quickly.
That's it.
Okay.
Well, thank you for the call. Walt, please.
Yeah, as Nancy referred to it, there's an awful lot of fraud in government spending, and more so than what happens in the private sector. But, you know, fraud is colorblind. In other words, the looking through the lens of racism or color is non-existent when it comes to fraud. And there's tons of it out there. And that's the problem with government spending. You're just going to get more fraud. And so the more we spend, the more fraud there'll be.
We're going to come right back. And we have Mark, Harry, and Bill. And only a few minutes left with Walt Caro, our resident CPA from Elevated Tax and Accounting. Lots of great questions and some good answers as well. We're going to come right back as Talk Back continues statewide on the Montana Talks Radio Network. So we'll get to those calls in the last few minutes of Talk Back on the way next.
Just cream. Severe flooding leaves cars unsafe to drive, and some vehicles end up for sale with no indication they were in a flood. Use NICB's free online VIN check service to help ensure a car is in its promised condition. To report fraud, contact NICB at reportinsurancefraud.org. A public service message from the National Insurance Crime Bureau.
Being a family caregiver can be rewarding, but it can also be expensive. Search caregiver compensation programs at the AARP Foundation Paid for Care Hub, developed with support from United Healthcare. Visit paidforcare.aarpfoundation.org.
All right, we're back into the final segment of Talk Back for today with our resident CPA, Walt Caro from Elevated Tax and Accounting. And let's jump right back in and get some more calls. And this is Mark. Mark, go ahead, please.
Hi, Mark.
Good morning, Walt. Say, mine seems rather inconsequential compared to the last couple of calls. I was thinking about the Democratic Socialists of America and their platforms and that kind of thing. And I want your highly expertise economic opinion on what you do with Medicare for all and unfettered immigration. If we allow everybody in and we have Medicare for all, what would be the financial impact of something as that weird as that?
Oh, the system would collapse. We'd go broke, and the dollar would collapse. And we would have hyperinflation. We would have all those kinds of little things that make socialist countries miserable. And it's something we don't want, and it's something that, we should be avoiding. But it's going to take some collective, if you will, cojones on the part of our elected officials to cut out the transfer payments from the U.S. taxpayers to illegal immigrants. And until we do that, it's just going to exacerbate an already big problem. That's what I see by not doing anything. And by not doing anything, it's just going to be the definition of insanity, expecting different results from doing the same thing.
Let's get Mark on the line. Mark, good morning. You're on Talkback. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Nick.
Mark, we got
Harry. Okay, this is Harry. Yeah. Harry, go ahead, please.
Yeah, good morning, Walt. Just a quick note to Nick. It's Ace would always let us know how many people are ahead of us, whether it's worth to hang on. But anyway, the whole thing about communism, all that. I mean, you talk about thinking. The thoughtful person realizes that it's not black and white. There's communist societies like Amish who make it work. So did the China. They're making work. It sucks. I mean, but economically they're competing against us. I mean, I'd hate to live there, but it's like Jeff says, it's about freedoms too. I mean, it doesn't have to be communist to be authoritarianism. I mean, look at Saudi Arabia. They're more or less capitalist society, but they have no freedom. So I mean, it's very seldom that it's black and white. It's simple. It makes a nice bumper sticker or political slogan. This is bad, we're good, or whatever. But there's always shades of gray. It's we do have socialized stuff in here. I mean, you look back in history, the fire departments in the mid of the 1800s, you had to pay if you didn't have the thing on your over New York, at least, if you didn't have the thing that said that you paid for them, they didn't put your fire out. They let your house burn. So I mean, that now we have socialized fire, and I think everybody thinks that's probably a good idea. So I mean, it's again, the whole thing is that this is bad, that's good. It's nuanced. It's always variations. I mean, to me, capitalism is great. As long as it's managed, it's just a matter of how much management there is.
Right, Harry, thanks for the call. We have 2.5 minutes. Walt, it's all yours.
Oh, wow. Okay, 2.5 minutes. We've got one more call, and so I'll try to keep this brief. Yeah, the United States and China and Russia and all those. I have not been to Russia, but I've been to China twice. And what I saw there, the people were energetic. They were working hard, and they looked like they were happy with what they were doing, because some of the positive aspects of capitalism they have accepted and adopted. Now they're still run by a oligarchy of political oligarchs, and what we're doing now, you hear Bernie Sanders talking about oligarchs. Well, he's talking about the economic oligarchs. So if you went to another system such as China or Russia, you would end up in the same spot. We'd still have oligarchs. They just have different names.
Do we have time to take one more, Nick?
I don't think so.
We don't, no. Okay, so Walt, the floor is yours. Just real quickly, how do we contact you?
Okay, you can contact me at Elevated Tax and Accounting. Phone number, 549-2288.
Thanks so much, Walt. Always a pleasure. Thanks for sharing your wisdom with us. Mr. Nick, what's coming up tomorrow on Talkback, sir?
From 8 to 8:30, Kristen Basler will join us. She serves as the Assistant Secretary for the Office of Elementary and Secondary Education.
Wow.
There for the U.S. Department of Education. And then we'll do open phones from 8:30 to 9. And then from 9 to 10 for the full hour, it'll be Montana GOP Chairman Art Wittick joining us, ready to take your calls.
All right, there you go. So we appreciate Nick, of course, producing the show, getting all these great guests for us. And I want to say thank you to our friend and our resident CPA, Walt Caro, for sharing his over 50 years of tax preparation experience. So we appreciate it very, very much. And I want to say thank you to all the folks who called. And I know that the answers you gave were consequential to them and will help them. So we appreciate that.
Thank you, and thanks for the opportunity. Thank you, Montana.
You bet. So we will be back tomorrow morning, bright and early at 8 o'clock for another edition of Talk Back. So until then, thank you so much. We appreciate every single one of you. And again, if you're just joining us and you want to call in for tomorrow, then the number is 406-721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. Of course, that goes all across the state of Montana as we're now live throughout the state on the Montana Talks Radio Network. Have yourselves a great day, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow morning, bright and early at 8 o'clock.